Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 6, Lord Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, text number 6, or 5. Those who do but Chariya Yo Charanambuja Lotus Feet Kosha Inside Gandham Flavor Jigranti Smell Kana Vivarai Through the channel of the ears Shruti Vatanitam Carried by the air of Vedic sound.
Carried by the air of Vedic sound.
Bhakcha.
Bhakcha.
By devotional service.
By devotional service.
Grihita Charana.
Grihita Charana.
Accepting the lotus feet.
Accepting the lotus feet.
Paraya.
Paraya.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Tesham.
Tesham.
For them.
For them.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Apaishi.
Apaishi.
Separate.
Nata,
Nata, O my Lord,
Hridaya,
heart,
Ambuhat,
from the lotus of,
Sapumsam,
of your own devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O my Lord, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet, carried by the air of Vedic sound through the holes of the ears, accept your devotional service. For them, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. Translation responsively. O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet.
Persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet.
Carried by the air of Vedic sound.
Carried by the air of Vedic sound.
Through the holes of the ears.
Through the holes of the ears.
Accept your devotional service.
Accept your devotional service.
For them you are never separated.
For them you are never separated.
From the lotus of their hearts.
From the lotus of their hearts.
Purport. For the pure devotee of the Lord, there is nothing beyond the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord knows that such devotees do not wish anything more than that. The word too specifically establishes this fact. The Lord also does not wish to be separated from the lotus hearts of those pure devotees. That is the transcendental relationship between the pure devotees and the personality of Godhead. Because the Lord does not wish to separate himself from the hearts of such pure devotees, it is understood that they are specifically dearer than the impersonalists. The relationship of the pure devotees with the Lord develops because of devotional service to the Lord on the authentic basis of Vedic authority. Such pure devotees are not mundane sentimentalists, but are factually realists because their activities are supported by the Vedic authorities who have given oral reception to the facts mentioned in the Vedic literatures. The word paraya is very significant. Para bhakti, or spontaneous love of God, is the basis of an intimate relationship with the Lord. This high stage of relationship with the Lord can be attained simply by hearing about Him, His name, form, quality and so on, from authentic sources like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, recited by pure unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshumulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahaganat Bhagavatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Sarvadutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sta Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bantu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gauranki Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavano Sute Devi Vananami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 And the verse again Yetu Tvadiya Charanam Bhutakosha Gandham Ti Grantikana Vivarai Shrutivata Nitam Hakcha Grihita Charana Pariyachitesham Na Paishinata Ridayam Bhuhat Supumsam O my Lord, person to smell the aroma of your lotus feet carried by the air of Vedic sound through the holes of the ears, accept your devotional service. For them you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. So today we're continuing Lord Brahma's prayers for creative energy. So, Lord Brahma is offering prayers. Even though he is the supreme control in each material universe, so every position in the material world is relative. Lord Brahma is in the topmost planet, and he created all the material bodies and structure of the universe. But spiritual life is about understanding the absolute truth. So Lord Brahma, you know, has some kind of control, but he's not the absolute truth. Although he appears to us to live practically eternally, 311 trillion years is, you know, we feel like we're doing good if we live 100 years or 80 years. But actually his life is just like a flash of lightning in comparison to eternal time. Eternal time is no beginning and no end. So Lord Brahma, he's a humble devotee, and even though because he's a humble devotee that Krishna used him as an instrument to act in his pastimes, and in one of those pastimes it appeared that Lord Brahma was proud. He said, "Who is this Krishna? He's a young cowherd boy playing with his friends in the forest, and how can people worship him as God?" So in that particular pastime, Krishna, he was under Krishna's Yogamaya energy, appearing to be a proud demigod. But in a similar way, Arjuna was also under Krishna's Yogamaya on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he appeared to be bewildered as to his duty as a Kshatriya. Of course, Kshatriyas are meant for killing and protecting, but he didn't want to engage in that battle. So Krishna makes these arrangements through his pure devotees. But now we're seeing Lord Brahma kind of also engaged in Krishna's pastimes, and for our benefit, instructing us as the head of our sampradaya, showing us who we should actually worship and how. So we offer respect to Lord Brahma, but he himself is showing us that it doesn't stop there. We have to go beyond him, out of the material universe, to the spiritual realm, and seek out who is the real supreme worshipable absolute truth. And he's offering his prayers to Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is none different from Krishna. Krishna and Vishnu, Narayan, they're all the same person. But they're taking on different personalities and functions according to their devotees and what they're trying to achieve. In the same way, even we ourselves see we're one person, but sometimes we're acting in different capacities. We're at home, we're like this, and at work, we're someone else, and on the sports field, might be someone completely different. So it's no surprise that all these this Vishnu, Krishna, they're all one person. So Lord Brahma is showing us that it is Krishna or Vishnu who needs to be worshipped, and he's offering prayers. So the very essential meaning of a prayer is that we're understanding it, that we're in a subordinate position and that someone else is in a superior position. Lord Brahma understands that Krishna is not only in a superior position, but the supreme position. There is no one more supreme, nor more superior than him. Sometimes people offer prayers to demigods. In the material sense, the demigods are superior to us. So therefore you can, conceivably offer a prayer, because we see, they're superior to me, I'm less than the demigods. So maybe you offer a prayer to them, asking for some benediction. But the prayers of a devotee are imbued with real knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So this is one of our goals in devotional service, is that our prayers, particularly the prayer of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, needs to become more and more genuine and sincere. And that comes about by, as I was saying, understanding. We understand factually our infinitesimal position and Krishna's infinite position. The soul is described to be, in the Vedas, to be 1/10,000th of the tip of a point of hair. So it's very small. But we're identifying with the gross body, with the very covering that tiny, tiny soul. So we don't take it so seriously, our prayers. So therefore, that understanding comes through hearing transcendental knowledge, like we're hearing every day in Bhagavatam class. So, and that hearing is the nature of that, the quality of that hearing has to be that it is submissive hearing. So, so that hearing, it needs to be submissive hearing of the Vedic literature. Because by hearing the Vedic literature, then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaish ca sarve aham eva vejo, Vedant krit vedavit eva cha aham. So all of the Vedas are eventually leading to Krishna. So therefore, by hearing the Vedic literature, then we people become purified and they can be elevated, their consciousness is elevated so that they can understand spiritual knowledge. By following the Vedic directions, such as the Vedic sacrifices, then one becomes purified by engaging in that sacrifice and giving some result to, to the demigods. And of course, the first offering in any Vedic sacrifice is made to Vishnu, who is Yajñapati, the controller of the Lord of the Yajna. And then there's so many other branches of Vedic knowledge. There's, of course, Dhanurveda and Ayurveda to keep the body and mind healthy just for prosecuting our spiritual life. So therefore, in the beginning of spiritual life, which, you know, most of us are in that beginning stage, we're just trying to learn to hear. So that hearing is not just an automatic thing. Having ears doesn't mean that you can hear. Just like dogs. Dogs have great ears. They have very powerful hearing, much better than humans. And, you know, they're kind of left at home, at least in the West, they're kind of left at home and their master's gone to work, or their servant has gone to work for them. And so then the dog's servant comes home and he hears him, maybe he hears a car coming down the street, maybe a few hundred meters away. So his ears immediately prick up and thinks, oh, my servant is home. He's brought me some dinner. And so now it's dinner time. So this is the hearing of the animals, that they're just, they're hearing for, you know, is there some danger around? Is there some moving creature for me to eat? You know, is there some, you know, someone of the opposite sex around that I can hear and mate with? So that is the hearing of the animals. And so the hearing in the human form of life is meant to hear spiritual knowledge from, as it says in the purport, from the Vedic authorities who have given oral reception to the facts mentioned in the Vedic literatures. So the Vedic literatures, the knowledge presented there is perfect, as it's coming from the, emanated from the breathing of Vishnu. And therefore, people who give submissive reception to those Vedic literatures, they become, you know, learned in the knowledge of the Vedas. You know, Rupa Goswami, I'm pretty sure it was Rupa Goswami, was lamenting that he only had one pair of ears and one tongue. And he prayed for millions of tongues and millions of ears so that he could hear the glories of Krishna. But that's no use to us if we haven't learnt how to hear. You have, you know, millions of ears and millions of tongues to chant the glories of Maya, then it's useless. So this learning to hear is very important for progressing in spiritual life, because it's the whole, you know, strategy for making spiritual advancement. If you know how to hear, then you'll very rapidly progress in spiritual life. So that submission has to be there. That's said in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevya Upadekshanti Tejyanam Kyanyas Tapadashana. So just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Hear from them submissively. So generally, first we're just trying to explain to people that, look, you're in a really bad position in material life. You're not as happy as you think you are. And, you know, just around the corner is death. And therefore you need to hear spiritual knowledge and get out of this entanglement. And that ability to hear, as Kangesha Prabhu was mentioning last week, the end of last week, it requires some dedication to transcendental knowledge, and then it will act on the heart. Because if we're just hearing kind of casually, like, oh yeah, class and Bhagavad Gita, I've read it so many times, then it won't go in. But if we have some dedication to understanding spiritual knowledge, and, you know, there's some yearning that we want to learn, we want to make advancement, then whatever we hear will act on the heart and transform the heart. Actually, it will be Krishna who will purify us. Seeing our sincere desire to hear and approach Him. As it says in, there's a well-known verse in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 10, verse 9. Machchita maggata prana bodhayanta parasparam katiyantas tamamnicham tushyanticha ramanticha. So in the first line we have that word, maggata prana. Prana means life. So the life of a devotee is to hear and glorify Krishna. So therefore it's not just a, you know, external activity, right? It's actually their life and soul to hear about Krishna and glorify Him. So therefore, we need to, as Congregation Prabhu was saying, we need to hear from these persons. Yesterday, we were fortunate enough to have Harinam in Bendigo. I was saying to one other devotee afterwards that, oh, it's so, you know, Krishna's mercy that generally in preaching we're trying so hard to, you know, approach people and, you know, reach out to people, but yesterday they were just all lining, waiting for us, practically. They were waiting to see everyone else, of course, but then we were there too. And so they were just there, you know, receptive, captive audience. So that was very, you know, it's Krishna's mercy that give us that opportunity. So in such a situation where chanting and dancing and everyone is, you know, we're being exposed to the holy name, but they may not actually hear it. They're kind of just, you know, they're gross, you know, gross materialists pretty much, and they're not able to hear very well. So it's not necessarily that the people there would have heard the Hare Krishna mantra, or like after we've gone by, it may not be that they understand, oh, this is the Hare Krishna mantra and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, like that. They just see the people. So this is the important, important point, that they see us. They see us dressed neatly and having a good time. And, you know, if the devotees are enjoying the Harinam, having fun and, you know, relishing the holy name, then actually that mood of the devotees, that is what attracts people. And that is what makes them receptive to say, oh, what is this? Maybe they have, you know, some secret in life. And, you know, some secret to happiness, which we do. So suddenly, you know, out of nowhere, just by seeing the Harinam, they actually become interested to hear. So that maybe they didn't hear the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they're interested to know what is Hare Krishna. And so that, therefore, it's very important. So this is preaching, not just, of course, we're chanting the holy names, and that's where the devotees derive their happiness. And therefore, that happiness that the devotees project is what attracts people. And not only the philosophy, generally, as Prabhupada would many times say that, you know, just have kirtan and distribute prasadam, and even some lectures, he'd go for a lecture and just talk fairly briefly, and if he saw that the audience was too rowdy or not really listening, he would say, okay, just have kirtan. And even in India, he'd just have kirtan, have harinam. And but even that, to be effective, for the Harinam to be effective, the devotees need to be experiencing a high taste. And that comes from our personal practice, our personal spiritual practice, regularly chanting and hearing. And therefore, by following that process, then that is what is pleasing to Krishna. By following the process given by Krishna's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, then just by following that process, strictly and faithfully, that is what's pleasing to Krishna. And therefore he reciprocates with us, seeing that we're trying to apply the process of devotional service as given by Srila Prabhupada. Then he reciprocates with that endeavour. I think someone asked a question last week that, is it our strict sadhana that is the most important thing? And in one sense, it's not just, if you practice just mechanically, then it won't. But also, it's, on the other hand, it is very important because it's the process given by our acharyas. And the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us was derived from the previous acharyas, Rupa Goswami, as we read in Nectar of Devotion. All the items of devotional service. So if we practice sadhana bhakti in that mood, that we're just trying to follow the process given by the acharyas, then we'll make a lot of advancement. So it's not necessarily, also in preaching, it's not necessarily what we say. Of course, that's important because we have to be speaking the truth, speaking the absolute truth, corroborated by the Shastra and nothing speculative. And we have to have heard from devotees and therefore, it's bona fide because we've heard from a bona fide source. But equally important as to what we're saying is how we say it. Do we have the conviction that when we're speaking to someone that, we're speaking in such a way that they understand that this knowledge will make them happy too? Are we convinced that this is the path to real happiness, real satisfaction in life? And then we can, that is conveyed through our words, not only the words themselves, but the mood. So therefore it's very, very important for devotees to become happy in Krishna consciousness if we want to be effective preachers. And that, as I was saying, we can derive that satisfaction by nicely following the process of sadhana bhakti. Even Nectar of Devotion says that sadhana bhakti leads to raganuga bhakti, or spontaneous practicing sadhana, but in a spontaneous mood. So therefore, sadhana bhakti is not something ordinary. It's actually leading to much higher levels of devotional service. As that same verse says, there's that word, bodhayanta. So, does anyone have any idea in that verse? Machchika madgita prana bodhayanta. Anyone know what that translation for that word is? Bodhayanta. Discussing. The word I saw in Bhagavad Gita was preaching. So, among themselves, this Krishna Katha, talking about Krishna amongst ourselves, is a form of, we're preaching to each other. We're, strengthening our conviction that, path of devotional service and Krishna is the Supreme Absolute. All these things, when we're discussing amongst devotees, we're helping each other, we're preaching to each other. And from there, then we preach to others. So then we also have the result of such discussions. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti is we become satisfied. We're tried in so many ways in our life, in countless births, since time immemorial, trying to find some, at least, satisfaction. And then that comes when we're not hankering for anything in the material world, we're not lamenting for what we don't have in the material world, but we're just satisfied with the process of Krishna consciousness. And then Ramanti, so you're satisfied, and then Krishna, seeing that we're satisfied, gives us some transcendental pleasure, Ramanti. So they're perpetually engaged in preaching and talking about Krishna. This was the, you know, when Srila Prabhupada, Uttama Adhikari, actually comes down to the level of Madhyama Adhikari to preach. And the characteristic of the Madhyama Adhikari is that they're always constantly engaged in talking about Krishna. So that was Srila Prabhupada's example that he set, how to be a preacher by constantly engaging in discussions about Krishna. Whoever he was with, in room discussions, late at night, in early morning, writing letters to devotees and giving classes, morning walks, everything. He was always engaged in talking about Krishna. So this was his example of how to be a Madhyama Adhikari. And of course, within himself, he was obviously the Uttama Adhikari, directly experiencing his relationship with Krishna. But for the preaching movement, he showed us how to come to that level of second-class devotional service, which is what we all need to be aspiring for. So, as we know, as we go on reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all of Prabhupada's books, then it becomes very clear that this philosophy is completely perfect. There's no gaps, there's no holes. And if, according to our vision, there is some misunderstanding or some apparent contradiction, then even still we can understand, oh, this is just me. So this is not, it's not the fault of the philosophy. So therefore we just need to inquire from someone who's more advanced and get that cleared up. So the philosophy is perfect, but then if we're not convinced, then we won't be able to persuade anyone about it to take up pure devotional service. If we're not so convinced about the philosophy, then maybe we can preach to people and they'll start chanting Hare Krishna, but only out of religious sentiment. Prabhupada writes in his purport, the relationship of the pure devotees with the Lord develops because of devotional service to the Lord on the authentic basis of Vedic authority. Such pure devotees are not mundane sentimentalists, but are factually realists because their activities are supported by the Vedic authorities who have given oral reception to the facts mentioned in the Vedic literatures. So we're not mundane sentimentalists, just like on Harinam yesterday and each week. We're not just chanting and dancing for no reason out of sentiment. Actually, we're convinced that this chanting is the process given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is the process in this age for attaining full self-realization. And therefore, we can chant and dance with conviction, not just, half-heartedly, because that won't convince anyone. So, therefore, to actually inspire people to take up pure devotional service, then we have to study the Shastras very seriously and apply the process ourselves. Whatever we're learning, try to apply that in our lives, and then try to come to some level of realization. And for, to be inspired to take up pure devotional service, the inspiration for any devotee is, of course, Srila Prabhupada. So, also we can derive... all our inspiration we're deriving actually from Srila Prabhupada. By hearing his lectures and reading his books, then just by that act, without any, you know, it's not us that we're so advanced that we're, you know, we're so qualified that we're making advancement. It's just because if we apply the process and take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas and our different gurus who have learnt from Srila Prabhupada, then this is where we derive our inspiration, because Krishna reciprocates with that endeavour. So in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes that the word paraya is very significant. Para bhakti, or spontaneous love of God, is the basis of an intimate relationship with the Lord. Phrase, that term, para bhakti, came up in last week's Srimad Bhagavatam class, also the Gangesha Bhavit. He was mentioning how Srila Prabhupada one time asked the devotees, what's the most important verse in the Vedic literature? You know, Bhagavad Gita or any of the Vedic literature, Upanishads, etc. So, you know, devotees had been learning Bhagavad Gita, so they're quoting different verses. But actually, it's not from the Gita, it's in Shvetashvatara Upanishad. The verse was Yasya Deve Parabhakti, so that word comes. Yasya Deve Parabhakti, spontaneous love of God. And then Yata Deve Tata Guru, Tasya Te Katita Hyata Prakashante Mahatmana. So that, although it's not from the Bhagavad Gita, it's included in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes it in one purport, probably more than one purport. So the translation is that to one who has full faith in the Guru and Krishna, then all of the imports of the Vedic literature are revealed automatically, not by any separate endeavour, just by having faith in Guru and Krishna, then automatically things are revealed in the heart. So that para bhakti, that spontaneous love of God, is automatically manifested by having faith in the Guru and Krishna. And we develop that faith in Guru and Krishna in the association of devotees. When we see devotees themselves applying the process of bhakti yoga and becoming purified, becoming happier, then that increases our faith. So therefore we need to stay in the association of devotees to increase our faith and have faith in that we should apply that, should ourselves apply the process more fully. Also that verse from the Upanishad says that automatically these truths are revealed about the Vedic import. I was asking Gangesha Puru, so it says if we just have faith in Krishna and Guru, then automatically everything's revealed. Don't need to study. Pass. But he said, no, it's not like that. You have to. Krishna wants to see that we're putting in the hard work. This is a relationship between endeavour and mercy that we often hear about. We put in a lot of endeavour just to attract the causeless mercy of Krishna. We're showing him that we want his mercy. So that is the relationship. And so we endeavour to the best of our ability and more, and Krishna gives us more ability to endeavour in our devotional service, and then he gives us more mercy. So this is the... Therefore, we do need to study Srila Prabhupada's books, and that is part of our sadhana, part of our application of the process given by Prabhupada. And by that endeavour, then the verses in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam become revealed to us. and we realize them more and more. Therefore, these are spiritual literatures that they're not, you know, their meaning is not static. We're not this body. That can be realized more and more. It's not just you hear it one time and that's it. But just like the examples given of a coconut. So the fresh coconut is green, and the flesh is actually attached to the wall of the coconut, and you can't separate it. But then after some time, I don't know how many months or weeks of drying out, becomes aged, and the flesh of the coconut actually separates from the wall of the coconut, and you can rattle it, and you shake it, and you can hear it rattling, the coconut flesh inside. So in the same way, just that beginning knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that we're not this body, then we gradually learn that, yeah, we're not this body, and we're separate. We're experiencing the body, but actually, are we the body, or are we the observer of the body? We're observing all of the changes and the pains and troubles of the body. So therefore, all of the verses in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like that, that we can understand them more and more. I mean, what to speak of Krishna's pastimes? We have a long way to go before we realize much about Krishna's pastimes. So therefore, we just need to patiently and steadily execute the process of devotional service as given by Srila Prabhupada. As is mentioned in today's verse, Krishna's lotus feet, the aroma of his feet, are carried by the air of Vedic sound. So this is through the holes of the ears. So we need to, you know, make our ears receptive to that Vedic sound, and then we can, that is the pathway to smelling Krishna's lotus feet. So that is the process of hearing. So I'll stop there and see if there's any comments or questions. Okay, we'll stop there. So, one question at the back. In the translation, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet. Yes, yeah, so I guess as I was mentioning, this is, also one of the inconceivable aspects of spiritual life that. As Prabhupada explains, that we see Krishna not with our eyes, but we see Krishna through the ears. Our material eyes are very limited. We just need to get a cataract or it becomes dark and we can't see anymore. So our material senses are very limited. So to approach Krishna, who is all spiritual, then actually the sense that we need is the hearing. As we progress in devotional service, one of the stages is that we remove the anattas from our heart, and we become steady in practicing devotional service, and we experience some taste. So, that comes through hearing. We're hearing Krishna Katha, And it becomes very pleasurable, very like we're having nice prasadam. So that's that inconceivable aspect that by hearing we're experiencing, you know, a spiritual taste. Even there's descriptions of all the descriptions of Krishna in the 10th canto and other places. Then by hearing those descriptions, we come to realize those descriptions and see Krishna's form. So you see, you know, just by hearing the holy name, we can come to realize Krishna's form, his activities, as it says in the... it says there in the purport. I don't need to look elsewhere. This high stage of relationship with the Lord can be attained simply by hearing about him, his name, form, quality, and so on. So, yeah, those things, just by hearing about him, they're realized through his name, his form, his quality, different qualities, bhaktivatsala, etc. They're all realized through hearing. Yes?
From your experience, when one hears and chants sincerely, what are some of the symptoms in our day-to-day life of having attained or being in the process of attaining a higher taste?
The process is available for anyone, as I was reading that verse that we're becoming more and more, you know, detached from our material ideas, and it's a gradual thing. So we're all sort of starting out our spiritual life. Of course, in the beginning, we're very much attached to the body, and you know, if we don't get things our way, then we become very disturbed, and so on. Then, as we keep practicing, we give up our material attachments by becoming attached to Krishna. Then the senses become controlled and. Senses become controlled, and then we can, you know, appreciate Krishna a little bit more, and become satisfied with the process of devotional service, satisfied with the association of devotees, and satisfied to see the deities and try and chant Hare Krishna. But you know, the process of devotional service, it's quite unlimited. It's not that, you know, I'm also a beginning devotee, so whatever I've realized is just also in that beginning stage. There's it's kind of it's an ocean of bhakti rasamrita sindhu. It's an ocean of devotional service. So yeah. So as we go on, it's just gradually, shanai, step by step. Anything else? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitya Gaura Kamanandi.